I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We are getting our first look at the Department of Justice's findings of its nearly year and a half long investigation into the horrific mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas back in 2022. According to the report, poor coordination, training, and execution of active shooter protocol contributed to a law enforcement response that it describes as a, quote, failure.
It goes on to say, quote, the most significant failure was that responding officers should have immediately recognized the incident as an active shooter situation, using the resources and equipment that were sufficient to push forward immediately and continuously toward the threat until entry was made into classrooms 111 and 112 and the threat was eliminated.
That is a not so shocking, but yet still traumatic report from the Justice Department on what happened with the Uvalde school shooting, Robb Elementary, May 24, 2022. 600 plus pages, or just under that, from the Justice Department. The conclusion basically coming down to, and I'm reading directly from it, according to the Justice Department, a very blunt statement. The response to the May 24, 2022 mass casualty incident at Robb Elementary School was a failure. 19 fourth graders were killed. 19 and two school teachers. There's a lot in this report. We're going to break down some in this hour and more in the next hour. But let me set the stage for you. Thank you again for joining us. Here we are, January 18, 2024. And this is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back for you, right here Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. Reminding you, when we're on the air, we're streaming video for you. You can watch the program. I see more and more of you are choosing to do that, and more of you are then sharing with others. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. If you continue to multiply like that within 2 weeks, we're going to be passing 1,000 every day just watching at their pleasure. You get it at News Talk STL, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. You can get it at Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. And if you miss anything, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and you pull it up and watch, view at your pleasure. You can subscribe. We'll send it to you. No charge. We do not sell your information. And, of course, you can also see it on Larry Connors USA Facebook. However you choose, we appreciate you watching, listening, and then sharing with others, getting more and more involved with this program. So a few of the added details from the Uvalde shooting. First of all, we cannot forget 19 fourth graders killed, and it did not have to go down that way. You have seen, no doubt, some of the video that came out eventually after the investigation started. Officers in the hallway, unsure, uncertain what to do. I stated then, I thought we learned from Columbine in Colorado, when you got an active shooter, you do not wait. You go in. You go in immediately. Yes, I know that's going to endanger some officers, but, and they know this, that's what they signed up for. And if it's a child that's in harm's way, they definitely should be going in immediately. Now, I'm not saying you go in stupidly without exercising caution, but you can't spend that kind of time. You know what it came down to? 77 minutes from the time the 18-year-old shooter walked into the school until he was stopped. And actually, he was stopped because he walked out. I take it back. He didn't walk out. I've got it confused with another. You're right. You're right. It's another school shooting. I know. And that is exactly how we're going to see it played out by the leftist media. And again, more calls for school shooting issues mean more gun controls. There were officers there. They had guns. They were not properly using them. I'm looking at part of the report for a span of more than 1 hour between 11:37 a.m. and 12:49 p.m. on that date. There were at least 10 different events all happening at the same time, including at least six separate instances of gunfire, totaling approximately 45 rounds in law enforcement presence, as well as officer injuries and the presence of victims. And the report adds any one of these events should have driven the law enforcement response to take steps to immediately stop the killing. There seemed to be confusion as to who's in charge. And they had the shooter basically with some children and teachers barricaded in two classrooms, 111 and 112. And they were thinking, according to the way it was described at that time, well, they're probably all dead. There's no sense going in there now. They're all dead. You did not know that. You did not know if they were dead. They might have been dying, and they were dead when you got there. More than one survivor is quoted in the report from the Justice Department, hearing someone say help if you need help. Someone calling from outside. Then a child trying to say help. The gunman sees him and shoots the victim. And then it's not clear, they say, if the shooter or police responders had asked the child, if you need help, say help. It could have been the shooter tricking one of the children that they thought might be dead. There were reports of some of the children taking blood from... Stop and think about this. Fourth graders taking blood from one of their killed or severely wounded students, fellow students, friend, and wiping it on their face and body to make it look like they had already been shot. And it did save some. There was a lot of criticism aimed at the sheriff, information he had that he did not share. Medical response, crime scene investigation also questioned repeatedly. The critical incident report, based on analysis of more than 14,000 documents, more than 260 interviews. It says the DOJ team that crafted all this visited Uvalde 9 different times, spent more than 50 days total. And then they say the reports of chaos in the hallway after the gunman's death could have been dispelled upon arrival by the original director of the Texas Department of Public Safety, but he did not provide direction, coordination with other leadership personnel in the hallway. Instead, he and others walked past the law enforcement officers bringing injured and deceased out of the classrooms and entered classrooms 111 and 112 with no identifiable purpose or action, therefore compromising the crime scene itself. Now, obviously, when rescuers were trying to get in and get kids out, they were compromising it, but you're trying to save lives then. I want you to know that the DOJ, I'm not sure if it's the Attorney General yet, it's been kind of vague, but did sit down with the families of students who were killed and those injured and families of the school district and discuss this report, letting them know what was in it before they made it public. As I said, we will spend more time on this in the next hour. Let me turn my attention and yours to another subject, and this is going to irritate the hell out of you. The Treasury Department weaponized snooping on what you're buying.
At the request of government, you got banks searching private transactions of their customers for key search terms, key words. It looks like without any warrants, without any legal process. And what were those keywords they were searching? Did they purchase religious texts? Did they shop at Cabela's or Bass Pro Shop? Were they purchasing a firearm? You go through this, Larry. That pretty much describes the vast majority of the people in the 4th District that I get the privilege of representing, for goodness sake. So this is financial surveillance at its worst.
That is Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. We said Larry Stone to Larry Kudlow of Fox Business News. But it is, he said, again, weaponization, this time of the Treasury Department. They want your bank records. They want to know what you're buying and so forth for nefarious purposes, maybe to stop a terrorist action, but more than likely, just throw the net out, see what we catch in it. That is not constitutional. And they don't have to go get a search warrant for your records if they ask the banks, will you just send it to us? We've been down this road before with telecommunications. They don't earn a damn thing in this administration. As long as we can snoop on the American public, we're going to do it. So Congressman Jordan says we do have plans to deal with it.
We're just getting into this. We're going to do transcribed interviews, depositions. We're going to get documents. We're going to find out how extensive this was. But it looks like big government, big corporations working together to go after, to financially spy on American citizens.
Can I ask a dumb question? What did Dick's Sporting Goods do wrong? They're on the list.
No, I think, they're on the list. Cabela, they're not looking at them as, they're looking at what people bought because they think, oh, they could be a violent extremist if they're buying a firearm at Dick's Sporting Goods or they're buying a fishing pole at Cabela's, and they're also purchasing religious texts at some bookstore. Somehow that fits this pro. I tell you what this sounds like. When you read through what the documents, the few documents we've got thus far, it sounds exactly like that memorandum in the Richmond field office that we discovered about pro-life Catholics being described as violent extremists. It sounds just like that document. And remember, the FBI said, no, that was a one-off. That was just this one field office. Well, now we have this that we've discovered that was much broader, working through Treasury and the FBI, it looks like, working together to with corporations to target American citizens.
That's what it comes down to. If you're buying a Bible, they're going to make note of it. Congressman Jordan said Americans are clearly being targeted.
Polling suggests that the vast majority of Republican voters agree with the statement that the government has been weaponized against them. That's why they went out and voted for President Trump, because they know he'll come here and fight that, change that, drain the swamp, as you just said. But that's on the voters' mind, and they believe that because it's true. We have seen it. Remember, they tried to set up the Disinformation Governance Board at the Department of Homeland Security. And just a few years before that, Democrats were saying, when it came to the border issue, that we should abolish the Department of Homeland Security. Then they get in office with Joe Biden. They says, no, we don't want to abolish it now. We want to create this censorship board. That's how radical it's gotten, and the people get it. Again, that's why they voted for President Trump in such big numbers on Monday night, and it's why I think he's going to win the nomination. And as Vivek just said, I think he's going to be our next president.
Now, if they were going through all of these things, I just have a little question here. Do you think they were also targeting Americans who bought a pressure cooker? A pressure cooker? You obviously remember the Boston Marathon bombing 2013. Pressure cooker was used as explosive devices. The New Hampshire primary is next Tuesday. Many registering currently in that primary are not going to be voting for Trump. In fact, they are afraid of losing to Trump.
Biden people are coming in. They have Biden stuff, and they're coming in to register and to vote in your primary. It is crazy. You got to get that changed. We're going to take it. If we weren't popular, how do you win? Where everybody's allowed basically to come and vote. The enemy, which let's say in this case, until it's over, because you know the whole country is going to unify by its success. When we're successful, the country is going to be unified. We are going to unify our country through success. But right now, we don't want Democrats voting in the Republican primary, Sununu. The radical left Democrats are supporting Nikki Haley because they know she's much easier to beat than Trump. And you know what? If she weren't, they wouldn't be doing it. But you know, they're great disinformation people. Misinformation, disinformation. You know, they're almost the same, but not quite. But let's not go into definitions right now. They're very close, actually. A lot of people still don't understand it. But I give them credit for both. But they are literally, what they're doing is they will say, we want to run against Trump so bad. In the meantime, they're sending all their people to vote for Nikki Haley. The reason they do that is they want to run against Nikki Haley. Usually when they say something, it's the opposite.
Now, I want to point out to you, this is not an uncommon occurrence in either local or congressional presidential elections, especially if you have primaries where you can go vote in the other primary, declare yourself a particular party when you're not, because you're trying to select the field that's going to be running against the candidate you want in your party. It's not that uncommon. Both parties have done it. Other parties have done it as well. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that, to be aware of it. But even CBS News noted the situation was so bad in Iowa that in one precinct, they ran out of the forms to switch party registration. The most interesting development, they had 50 forms for people who wanted to register that night or switch their party registration, according to a CBS reporter. They ran out of those forms. The members of the caucus team had to run out to multiple homes, get printer paper, get their printers fired up to create them. That was in Iowa on caucus night, which Trump won by 51%. DeSantis 30 points behind, and Nikki Haley behind him. Tucker Carlson, I want to point out to you, has his own program. He is not a Nikki Haley fan.
A Nikki Haley presidency is a lot like a war with Iran. It's a terrible idea. No normal person wants it. But because a small, well-funded group of extremely enthusiastic activists are determined to have it anyway, we are perpetually on the verge of getting it. The next skirmish in this ongoing battle is going to take place a week from today in New Hampshire. And hard as it is to believe, Nikki Haley could do pretty well there. She could even win the New Hampshire primary.
And, of course, that was Tucker Carlson Tuesday night. The primary in New Hampshire is next Tuesday. And Carlson said, there's a guy in the wings that's trying to make sure Nikki Haley gets over the top of Trump.
Now, much of Haley's money comes not from Republicans or conservatives, but from committed Democratic partisans. Anti-civilization activist Reid Hoffman, for example, is a major Haley supporter. Reid Hoffman is the founder of LinkedIn. He's a friend of Jeffrey Epstein's. He was a visitor to Pedo Island, in fact. He's also the guy who funded E. Jean Carroll's sexual assault case against Donald Trump. Reid Hoffman is a Democratic mega donor. In 2020, he gave $1 million to David Brock's American Bridge PAC. That's a group designed to physically harass Republican candidates. Hoffman's money has also helped to prop up the authoritarian governor of California, Gavin Newsom, as well as many others on approximately the same team. So you know exactly who he is. What's interesting is this cycle, Reid Hoffman is all in on Nikki Haley. His cash is paid for one of the most shameless propaganda operations in memory. So the very same people who told you 4 years ago that Joe Biden was a jovial, moderate grandfather just trying to return America to normal, those same people are now trying to sell Nikki Haley as a conservative woman of principle.
And the mega donor, Reid Hoffman, giving $250,000 to the Haley campaign. We'll break that down in more detail for you in our next hour. Also, how the government pushing for everyone to have electric cars is more than just government control. It's another example, if you need an example, of government incompetence. Also coming up next, the leftist media, obviously attacking Trump. And they do it this time by baiting Nikki Haley. How did that work out? And also how the state-controlled media claims to be, we're honest, we're ethical. Trust us. Trust us. BS. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Jim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You're the only woman in this race. How do you feel about your party's front runner being held liable for sexual abuse?
I mean, first of all, I haven't paid attention to his cases, and I'm not a lawyer. All I know is that he's innocent until proven guilty, and when he's proven guilty and he's sitting in a courtroom, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You've got investigations on Trump and Biden.
But a lot of people, forgive me, but a lot of people in the Republican Party blow it all off and say that it's all a witch hunt, and which is
because I think some of the cases have been political.
This case in particular,
this one I haven't looked at. But look, if he's found guilty, then he needs to pay the price. He needs to do what he's supposed to. Every one of these cases, they need to be heard out. He needs to defend himself. If he is found guilty, he's going to pay the price. If he's not found guilty, then we move forward.
Now, regardless of what you think of Nikki Haley, she's taking the correct line there. Dana Bash of CNN was trying to bait her into, you're the only woman against these two guys. Don't you feel like, you know, you're being assaulted just by the fact that you're the only person, and then you consider your main opponent's past record? And as Nikki Haley accurately pointed out, he hasn't been convicted. And then she said, Nikki Haley started mentioning Biden, and suddenly Dana Bash did a quick turnaround. I would like to play that again, Quentin. I want to play it because as soon as you hear the word Biden, watch how fast Dana Bash spins back.
You're the only woman in this race. How do you feel about your party's front runner being held liable for sexual abuse?
I mean, first of all, I haven't paid attention to his cases, and I'm not a lawyer. All I know is that he's innocent until proven guilty, and when he's proven guilty and he's sitting in a courtroom, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You've got investigations on Trump and Biden.
But a lot of people, forgive me, but a lot of people...
Oh, forgive me. You mentioned Biden. Forgive me. Let's talk about something else, like Trump again. How dare you bring Biden into our conversation, Nikki Haley? Now, there is a panel at CNN watching this, and they all want to chime in on some of their ideas. This would include Mika Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough of MSNBC, and they are responding partly to what she said that you heard, and then also what they wanted her to say.
If he is found guilty, he's going to pay the price. If he's not found guilty, then we move forward.
It's hard to watch, John. It's hard to watch.
I just can't.
That is so...
Stop.
Yeah, and God. No comment. I haven't been following it. I'm not a lawyer. You don't have to be a lawyer to understand what's happening here. And again, guys, we hear the equivalency. Well, there are investigations on Biden, too. Nikki Haley, of course, knows better that there's no equivalency between what Joe Biden is being accused of, investigated for without evidence, and the myriad 91 felony charges against Donald Trump.
He is in court where the judge said he raped a woman.
Really? Joe Scarborough, the judge said Trump raped a woman? Did he say it like you said it? He raped a woman? Or he's charged with raping a woman? Or he allegedly raped a woman? Joe Scarborough, you just showed again just how classless you are and how inane idiot you can be. The judge said Trump raped a woman. I haven't seen that anywhere. I haven't even seen it in some of the allegations or attributions. Maybe it exists. I can't deny that. But for Scarborough and them to be mocking Nikki, you don't have to be a lawyer to understand this. Well, you should have to be at least knowledgeable that under our Constitution, you are innocent until proven guilty. It's not that you're guilty until you prove yourself innocent. And then throwing in that, the judge said he'd raped a woman. And you heard how they were snickering. Oh, my God, I can't even look at this. Oh, this is so hard. This is sickening. Bring the vomit pail because we can't sit here anymore and watch this. State-controlled media, as I call them. And I know they're not controlled by the state directly, but close enough in my opinion. State-controlled media no longer even tries to hide the bias, as they did by looking at Trump's victory. They barely covered it and then reluctantly had to cover it to some extent, Florida Senator Rubio.
There's always been liberal bias in the media. Human beings are biased. They're partisan. And they're not just partisan, like openly partisan. They are now extending that to not just attack Trump as a candidate, as a former president and future president, but also to attack the people who follow him. Just in the last 48 hours, we've had multiple people go on the air on other networks and talk about things like, well, in Iowa, the problem is these are all white Christians. Or their attitude about the followers of Trump is these are dumb, stupid, uneducated people that don't know any better or worse. They're haters, they're bigots. So it's what's really changed is not just the partisan tone of the coverage, but now this effort to say we're not going to carry his speech, we're not going to let you hear what he has to say. We'll interpret it and we'll put out the snippets we want you to hear, but we've made the decision to no longer carry it. You know, you put up my message a moment ago from what I put up next. This is exactly how state-run media is used by authoritarian governments to delegitimize, to discredit, to basically make people believe that there is no alternative but to the regime and to their rule. And it's destroying the media in this country. No, it's why at this point, you know, no one believes anything they see or hear anymore.
Of course. Florida Senator Rubio, Republican, a one-time foe of Trump, but saying, look at what they're doing. They're destroying the media. They're destroying the Constitution. They're destroying everything of value. And they don't give a damn as long as they come out on top. And he even phrased it a little bit differently. He didn't say state-controlled media, but he did say, this is what you'd see if the state is running your media. You're exactly right. CNN and NN on that night, Jake Tapper, they cut to a picture of Trump up on the stage beginning his speech, and they cut it down, and Jake Tapper said, he's delivering his victory speech. You can hear him under me as I continue talking. When they have ever shut down a victory speech from a Democrat and talked over them? Do you recall one? I personally don't. Maybe, but I don't recall one. But then look at what MSNBC and Rachel Maddow did with the Trump victory speech in Iowa.
At this point in the evening, the projected winner of the Iowa caucuses has just started giving his victory speech. We will keep an eye on that as it happens. We will let you know if there's any news made in that speech, if there's anything noteworthy, something substantive and important. The reason I'm saying this is, of course, there is a reason that we and other news organizations have generally stopped giving an unfiltered live platform to remarks by former President Trump. It is not out of spite. It is not a decision that we relish. It is a decision that we regularly revisit. And honestly, earnestly, it is not an easy decision.
Liar, liar, liar. It is out of spite. and you relish doing it, and it's an easy decision because it's made before he wins. You ain't making a decision. We're not going to cover his speech. We won't even cover it on a delay where we're, if we hear a lie or something wrong, we can hit a button and, like we could do here if I use some words that I shouldn't. And I might well do it before we're done with this hour, believe me. Rachel Maddow, oh, it's a tough decision, not something we enjoy doing. And she said, there's a reason, because we have to protect the value of our commodity, MSNBC, and our integrity.
There is a cost to us as a news organization of knowingly broadcasting untrue things. That is a fundamental truth of our business and who we are. And so his remarks tonight will not air here live. We will monitor them and let you know about any news that he makes.
Any news that he made? Well, he made news. He made news. He won 51% of the caucus. That is the biggest number ever since Bob Dole got 12.8% in 1988. That in itself is news. But again, we're going to monitor it. We'll watch it. But we have to protect us because we have a responsibility to be factual and accurate. We cannot tell lies. Liar, 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 pants on fire, Rachel Maddow. And all the rest of you that think you are journalists when you've sullied the name and you basically convinced much of the American public that what you say is fact and anybody else has to be a liar. All right? You want an example? Anybody out there want an example? Yeah, I hear you. You want an example? I've got an example for you. And it involves Rachel Maddow herself. Never telling a lie. We have to protect what we say on MSNBC. We're not going to say anything that's a lie. We're going to be actually factual, right? Well, I want to go back to Rachel Maddow 2 years ago.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
And all of that was a lie. Even the vaccine companies later admitted we didn't really test for efficacy to see if it really would stop the vaccine. We just have it available. Let's get it out. But she sat there and repeated lies from Dr. Fake and others. They didn't question. They didn't shut him down. But claiming that if you get the vaccine, you can stop it and it won't go anywhere else. We all know that's a lie. We suspected it then. We know it now. So have we seen any apology, any correction from the all-encompassing MSNBC and their integrity and their issue of protecting what they have as a value, as a network news organization? And the word news is should be changed to slut is one word I come up with. I haven't seen any correction from them. I haven't seen Rachel Maddow go and say, remember when I told you that story? Turned out it was wrong. We relied on information. She could make up excuses like it, but no apology. Come on. Coming up, a lecture from a prior Marxist communist about democracy and the battle over Trump's second on the ticket.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
President Xi's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
This is News Talk STL.
Got me waking, ballin' man. Waking around the fire. I want a little rain of water. That you won't let Jimmy start, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So Ron DeSantis has moved on. He's basically knows he doesn't stand a chance in New Hampshire. Not going to spend any more time there. In fact, he's being quoted in one source I saw here that he said, I recognize now that I probably should have spent more time and more money on some ads and done things differently. So now he's going on to other states, getting ready for the next opportunity wherever he can find it. And I'm looking at, I thought I saw something cross just a moment ago. While I'm on the air with you, I'm constantly watching things as they change, and some need to be reported immediately, some can wait it out, and the one I'm looking for, I don't really see it. So let me go back to talk about DeSantis for a minute. The Hill is reporting that he does regret the early strategy of avoiding the media. Now, in Florida, Ron always open to the media and talking to them, and has been on the national stage as well. But he's now regrets, according to the Florida Hill, talking to some of his people, he avoids, or rather regrets his early strategy to simply avoid the media. Reflecting back to the first months of his White House bid when he stuck mostly to friendly platforms and conservative outlets. And one of them, of course, being conservative radio host Hugh Hewitt, talking about what miscalculations he made as a presidential run. That was asked today, and DeSantis said, I came in not really doing as much media. I should have just been blanketing. I should have gone on all the corporate shows. I should have gone on everything. I started doing that as we got to the end of the summer. We did it, but we had an opportunity, I think, to come out of the gate, reach more. But, of course, he's been struggling. Now, with the Iowa vote in, the caucus, he came in second behind Trump. But Trump had 51% of the caucus vote. DeSantis had just a hair over 20%, and Nikki Haley a couple and a half points behind that. They were going to have an ABC debate in New Hampshire. DeSantis was the only GOP candidate to accept it. Trump had said, again, I'm not going to get in the mud with anyone else until it's one-on-one. And Nikki Haley said, well, if Trump's not going to be there, I'm not going to run because, she said, I'm not going to do it because DeSantis isn't going to beat me anyway. Why should I argue and debate with him? So now DeSantis is looking for help down south. See what he can find somewhere. But I want to share with you a piece written by Jonathan Martin. He is Politico's senior political journalist and the bureau chief on politics. Politico can be sometimes more left-leaning, but it can also be pretty middle-of-the-road factual. As the Hill, the same thing. But I want to read this opening line in Jonathan Martin's commentary. I'd say it's a mix of commentary and facts, so it's not a, it's a report, it's a story, but at the same time, he's making it a column where he's adding his comments, which is fair game as long as you make it clear to everybody what I'm telling you is not news, it's an opinion. He writes, "The fiercest Republican campaign is not taking place between the presidential hopefuls in Iowa or New Hampshire, but rather in the backstage fight over who would be Donald Trump's running mate, or more to the point, who will not be Trump's pick." He adds, of course, that Nikki Haley emerging as the former president's most formidable opponent, toughening her rhetoric. The Trump world foes are intensifying their efforts to block her, even from the vice presidency. Critics of Haley have privately warned Trump that were he to make Haley first in line, he'd set himself up for an intra-party coup. Congressman Matt Gaetz, Republican of Florida, said, "Nikki Haley as VP would be an establishment neocon fantasy and a MAGA nightmare. On day one, she would convert the Naval Observatory into an anti-Trump resistance headquarters, undermining him at every step." The Naval Observatory is, of course, the residence of the vice president. Tucker Carlson has added his comments previously as well, saying, "If he picks her, I'm done with Trump." Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, had this to add. Keep in mind, Haley being at one time a governor of South Carolina. Lindsey said, "The same people who don't like her don't like me." That may be true. That may be true. And then they start looking at, well, who else could he go to? What would be an option? One of them points out John Lerner, who is Haley's closest advisor. Would Trump maybe bring him in because Trump's inner circle knows him and he's convinced that Lerner might be closer to what Trump wants than Haley? But I don't see that even on the wildest night, and even admitting in this Politico article, some Republicans close to Trump find it highly unlikely he would choose Haley and certainly not Lerner, yet Graham believes the former president is open to joining forces with Haley. But how much of an alliance? Going to be determined, obviously, by what happens in the primaries going forward. The relationship would be an ugly month-long battle for South Carolina, according to Senator Graham, when you have Haley and Trump on the same ticket at that point against each other. The article of this piece for Politico points out, elevating Haley would be an even more significant blow than picking Mike Pence in 2016. Adding, it recalls the last movement leader of the right who thwarted the old guard only to invite them into his inner circle, Ronald Reagan, aiming to unify the GOP, not only selected the moderate George H.W. Bush as his running mate, but made Bush's closest friend, James Baker III, White House Chief of Staff. Now, again, the author of this article for Politico, Jonathan Martin, adds this. One consideration Trump will make, I'm told, is a vice presidential pick in the mold of Dick Cheney, somebody who has no ambition to run in their own right. And unlike Cheney, may not come from the political arena at all. That, of course, would take Haley out of the running. But it would also sideline a host of other contenders, traditional Republicans and MAGA aligned. Trump made a remark the other night on Fox News that he has someone in mind. But those in his orbit apparently aren't aware of it, or they're being very silent about it. What they are saying is that he is going to be looking for, this first thing would be loyalty. So now keep in mind Vivek Ramaswamy stepping out the other night, coming forward and going with Trump into New Hampshire, saying, we're the only two real MAGA Republicans that believe in America, and I'm out, so I'm giving my support to this man. And I urge you to do the same, and I urge my supporters to do the same. 4 to 5% of the vote was going to Vivek. It could be valuable. Some of them might buy into Trump, some won't. Which brings us up to that MAGA issue again, and how it's being treated as a weapon to beat over the heads of anyone who stands to make America great again. And this is so conflicting and confusing to me in the sense that there are many Democrats of all colors, of all ethnicities, only two genders, that want to see America do better and thrive and succeed because it will help them and their families. But they take the term MAGA and turn it into a vicious slur, equivalent to the N-word in reference politics. MAGA, make America great again. No, it's MAGA, make America great again. Ronald Reagan first uttered the words, not Trump. Ronald Reagan did it, said, let's make America great again. It just didn't grab hold at that point. And, of course, we didn't have the rush in the everybody on TikTok, Twitter, and everyone else echoing and doing it all over again. I'm reminding you what my position is. As I noted yesterday, and I'll have it in a commentary for you as well to drive it home again. Every time they call out MAGA as if it's nasty, you shout BAGA, BAGA. That's B-A-A-G-A, Biden against America. Biden always against America. I mean, there's just, we got to put a stop to this kind of stuff. We got to find a way to get together. And so then from the far side of where you're sitting right now on Earth, well, I'll take it back. I know we have people listening in various countries in Europe and in Asia. So it may be closer to you, but I'm talking about in Switzerland, where the wealthy, the elite, the climate worshipers are all gathered at the Davos Economic Summit. They've been discussing everything possible, which would include politics. And here is where the new Argentina president lectured those attending about democracy. He's lecturing them about democracy. You gotta love it.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone, or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Today, I'm here to tell you that the Western world is in danger. And it is in danger because those who are supposed to have to defend the values of the West are co-opted by a vision of the world that inexorably leads to socialism and thereby to poverty. Unfortunately, in recent decades, motivated by some well-meaning individuals willing to help others, and others motivated by the wish to belong to a privileged caste, the main leaders of the Western world have abandoned the model of freedom for different versions of what we call collectivism. We're here to tell you that collectivist experiments are never the solution to the problems that afflict the citizens of the world. Rather, they are the root cause. Do believe me, no one better placed than us, Argentines, to testify to these 2 points.
That is the right-wing populist Argentine president, Javier Milei, 53 years of age, the country's new president. Selma Wari said, is this the beginning of a new era? He won 55.7% of the vote. Second place got 44.3%. And they're already saying he's very much like Donald Trump. Well, maybe that's why he got elected. And there he was telling those at the Davos summit the idea that all this collectivism of basically, I'm using the terms he didn't, Marxism, socialism, do not do what we need. Democracy does that. Democracy does that. Now, Argentina has a strong socialist party for the most part. And it is the fourth largest country in the Americas, the fourth largest. It is the eighth largest landmass in the nation, I mean in the world. And he's telling them all of our massive inflation issues, our defaults we had in the 80s all the way up to the 2000 led more to populist attitude, and that we've got to stop this ideal default that we need things like everyone shares, everyone gets the same. He said it doesn't work. It's only through the innovation, free enterprise, that things will work. Again, the Argentine president.
When we adopted the model of freedom back in 1860, in 35 years we became a leading world power. And when we embraced collectivism over the course of the last 100 years, we saw how our citizens started to become systematically impoverished, and we dropped to spot number 140 globally. But before having the discussion, it would first be important for us to take a look at the data that demonstrate why free enterprise capitalism is not just the only possible system to end world poverty, but also that it's the only morally desirable system to achieve this.
It's the only morally desirable possibility for the world. Collectivism, everybody's put in the same box, you all get the same thing or not. But there will always be, in any collectivism society, be it called socialism or communism or Marxism, there are always going to be the elites. They're going to get theirs. You're the dog under the table. You get the scraps that fall, or that maybe they will offer to you occasionally. The president of Argentina at the Davos World Economic Summit, lecturing them on the value of free enterprise and democracy. And I'll bet some of them in there were like, oh, that's not what we wanted to hear. We're trying to bring everybody together and believe in everything that we say only. Blew up in their face, didn't it? Coming up more on the Uvalde school shooting report. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.